Lord led Mr. Sonny to some perfect songs. You just sang about Be Thou My Vision. We're going to take an eye test here together right now. So if you could open up your Bibles with me to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. And if you'll drop on down with me as well to verse 15 in this chapter. passage that we know well. It says in verse 15, to not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. You know, James chapter 4, verse 4 will equate friendship with the world to hostility to God. We begin to align ourselves to the world and its things, and we actually, the passage will say, become enemies of God in that way. Now, as Christians, we probably read verses like this and we begin to dismiss and say, well, I don't love the world and the things of the world. Of course not. Not friendship with the world. Of course not. Let's take an eye test. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6. If you'll drop in Matthew chapter 6 down to verse 19 with me. It says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. Now, many times we come across this passage and our mind immediately goes to treasures. You know, we think of riches and wealth and possessions, and we can't remove that from it. That's obviously a big part of this. But we have to remember the context that this chapter is set in. So what has he been telling us to this point? Well, he's been talking about things like in chapter 6, verse 1, practicing your righteousness before men and doing your fasting, verse 18, to be noticed by men. And so we're dealing with things like maybe approval and affection from others, wanting to be seen as a good guy to those that are around us, wanting to be seen as righteous and maybe get the pat on the back. Maybe we want to keep everybody happy with us at times. So we make decisions based on that. We're storing up treasures of this earth when we begin to do those things. He says, don't do that. They just don't last. They don't endure. They don't have any true value. He says, instead, store up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You want to know what someone really loves, what they really think is valuable. What are they drawn to? What are their affections? What do we find ourselves affectionate towards? What do we find ourselves longing for? Well, that's what we see as most valuable. That's what we think is a treasure. Told you we were taking an eye test, and so we asked the question in verse 22, why does he bring up this whole thing of the eye? So he says, the eye is the lamp of the body. So then if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. He uses this word lamp, and it kind of gives you a picture of, you know, where you're heading, what's giving you clear direction and where you're going, what's leading you in where you're headed within your life. But he says in verse 23, if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. And then if the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? Well, what is that darkness? Well, it is really anything that's not God, right? Anything other than him. Why the eye? Well, what does our eye do? Our eye is that which begins to focus on things. So where does our attention lie? What do we find ourselves getting caught up in? What do we find ourselves making decisions based on? What do we find ourselves drawn to? Well, our eyes, as they begin to move, you know, it'd be like you're having a conversation with someone and they're standing in front, and as you're talking, you're going, does that person feel like you're really paying attention to them? Right? You just nod at the appropriate time. They finish. Where's your attention and your focus? That's the eye test, right? You begin to go down, and it says, how great is the darkness. Have you ever begun to make the focus of your life wanting to please everyone else? You ever made the focus of your life trying to look like a good guy to people? It could be people in your workplace, could be people in your family, could be people in the church. You want to look a certain way. You want to gain approval. How great is that darkness? Where does that begin to lead us? I'm going to talk about sorrow and anger and grief, depression. How great does that begin to be in our life? It says in verse 24, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. Basically, you're going to disregard one or the other. We're either all in with God, and we begin to say, the things of this world, I'm just not drawn to them anymore. The mindset of this world, I don't have affection for that any longer. Or we find ourselves disregarding the things of God. Find ourselves putting him on the back burner. You might ask, okay, why do we say the darkness is anything other than God? That's a good question, so let's go back to 1 John in chapter 1. Tells us in verse 5, this is the message we have heard from him and announced to you. God is what? Light. And in him, what isn't there? Any darkness at all. So if our eye is focused, the focus and center of our life, we begin to make our decisions, because that's one of the things that begins to reveal where our focus is, isn't it? The way that we make decisions, how we spend our time, how we begin to be drawn to certain things is based on what we're focused on. We end up being upset when we go down that road. You were waiting for that, I know. There you go. If you go with me into verse 6, it says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness. So if we say, okay, I'm with God, but we begin to go down roads in our life that really begin to separate us from God. He says, we lie, we don't practice the truth. You go to verse 8, it says, if we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. We begin to minimize the decisions we make and go, well, that's not really sin. No, that's not a big deal. Yet, was your focus on something other than Christ? That was a big deal because you can't serve two masters. So if you're living your life, you're making decisions based on anything other than him, truth is not in us. Verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. His word is not in us. It's very clear we begin to go down a direction. We begin to focus our life on something other than him. It leads us down a very dark path, quite literally, in this passage. The good news is we skipped over two verses that we're going to go back to. It says in verse 7, but if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. You know, one of the things is we get our focus on the wrong things. Not only do we feel separated from God as we are, we begin to feel separated from his people. Yes. We begin to not have that fellowship. He says, in the blood of Jesus, his son cleanses us from all sin. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Those times where we don't pass that eye test. We have a faithful God who would say, if you'll just leave those things behind, if we'll start despising the things we should despise, he's right there. But we've got to take our eyes off of this world. There's a great example, if you'd look at me, in Hebrews chapter 11. A decision such as this. We have this man by the name of Moses, and I've been going through this recently with the youth, and you have Moses in verse 24 of Hebrews 11. It says, by faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called a son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Why would we make that decision? Why would Moses make that decision? all that he could have held on to. Why endure ill treatment with the people of God instead? It says he considered the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, and he was looking to the reward. You see, we are looking for a treasure and a reward, but it's not the things of this world. What was the reward that Moses was able to experience as he began to let go of those things of this world? Well, he got to be close with God, and he got to be like Christ in that. And he got to be with God's people. See, where our treasure is, that's where our heart's going to be. What we're drawn to is going to be revealed by the decisions that we make. The way that we spend our time, the way that we spend the resources that God gives us, begin to reveal that which we really love. And I'm thankful that we have such a loving God that even when we do make those decisions and our eyes get off and we begin to wander over there, he hasn't gone anywhere. He's just waiting for us to come back to him. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come before you today, I just thank you for your love for us. Lord, I thank you for refocusing us when we need it, letting us know in a loving way when we've gone astray. Lord, I thank you for making Scripture clear. Thank you for making truth known to us. And Lord, leading us towards light and away from the darkness of everything else of this world. Lord, we give you thanks in your name. Amen.